Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Fox Sports Knoxville. Talk sports.
Hey, it's John Reed and Cody McClure. Fox Sports Knoxville, we getting money for sure. Cause we're addicted to sports. Louis V on my shorts. Been a Tennessee Vol since I hopped off the porch. Hey, Reggie White and Allen Houston, Florida, Georgia. Keep it moving, this is Rocky Top. You ain't wearing orange, what you doing? We talking UT sports in the booth. Chris Lofton with the shot, yeah, we ready to shoot. Hey. We talking sports.
Hour three kicking off the studios. Cody Mack, headlines, collision course, right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Bearden High School has a kid named Drew Pember. He signed yesterday with UT. He's coming to join the Vols on the basketball court on the hardwood. Says he's looking forward to it. Can't wait to be at Tennessee. He's a big, tall, white kid. Big, big, tall guy. Bearden High School. So he's going to stay close to home to play basketball next season for the Vols.
All right.
So good for him. Signed his national letter of intent yesterday. Growing up as a kid, you want to play for your hometown, he said. He is a three-star player, top 10 player in the state of Tennessee. Apparently, he's got a great relationship with Coach Barnes.
He's a shooter.
Is he?
Yep.
He's a big, tall guy, isn't he? Is he like 6'10"?
I thought he was a shooter. The highlights I saw was him shooting threes. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
I just heard that he was 6'10".
Maybe I just heard he was white and assumed he was a shooter.
No, he's like a stretch. I mean, he's like 6'9", 6'10", but he can shoot.
Okay.
Yeah. He does a little bit of everything.
He's going to be the stretch four type of guy.
Yeah.
I doubt he does a little bit of everything.
Does a little bit of everything.
And he's a three-star.
He's not a great ball handler.
Imagine he's not really running you're not running the offense through him. He's not
Ben Simmons.
Is he bringing the ball up the court?
I know. He's
probably
posting
at the high
up.
School
he's,
level.
He's pick and pop.
There.
Pick and roll.
That's what he's doing.
He's probably doing a little bit of everything at the high school level, but, you know.
He's better than all the losers in East Tennessee.
I would say he is shooting threes and getting rebounds and putbacks.
He's dunking a lot.
Okay.
That's impressive at the high school level.
6'10", I hope you can dunk.
That would be really sad if he couldn't.
Every 6'10 guy.
Everything.
Every 6'10 guy I've ever known could dunk.
He dribbles some. I'm sure he can pass.
Should every 7-foot person be able to dunk a basketball?
Assuming no health defects.
I mean, even the ones that aren't athletic, like if you're 7 feet tall, chances are you've got long arms, too, if you're that tall.
Yeah.
You should probably be able to dunk, right?
Mm-hmm. Assuming you have arms, 7-footers with no arms probably can't dunk.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's fair.
You should be able to reach up 3 feet.
Yeah.
And if not, jump at least, you know.
Imagine being that tall.
Yeah. I do all the time.
It would kind of suck, though, honestly. I feel like the cutoff should be like 6'4", as being like a cool tall. When you're that tall... So, yeah, unless you want a career in basketball, maybe. Yeah. Joey Bosa returning to the practice field for the Chargers after being sidelined all season with a foot injury. The surging L.A. Chargers got a jolt of good news on Wednesday as their Pro Bowl defensive end returned to the practice field as a limited participant. But that is a major indication his return is finally close. Bosa initially hurt his left foot in August, and the team has sent mixed messages since about his availability. So he hasn't played ball in 13 or 14 weeks, but they are carefully putting him back into the system.
They were going for the pun, right, with a bolt of energy?
Oh, I guess so.
Chargers, bolt.
I guess so, yeah.
Creative.
Writers are nerds.
That might be the Chargers' second-best player, third-best player. They're already pretty good. Getting Bosa back is a big deal.
Looks like Andrew sent me Hugh Jackson joining Marvin Lewis's staff in Cincinnati. Had that a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Guess that's what happens when Andrew misses 2 days.
Well, I mean, we had the We had the exact the tweet you read me to kick off the Durant Draymond stuff last hour was the exact tweet I read yesterday. So don't start casting your stones, Mr. Glasshouse.
It wasn't in headlines.
We talked about it. I know it wasn't in headlines because I'm the one that brought it up.
When?
Yesterday at some point.
Well, if I didn't hear it, how am I going to know we talked about it?
I mean, because you should hear it because you were sitting next to me.
Perhaps I wasn't paying attention.
I would say that's the likely reason.
Steph Curry out for the next five games and maybe more. He's going to miss at least 10 days, the team announced.
Okay.
Recovering from his groin injury.
Yeah, he's out.
Do I know?
I said, yeah, he's out.
Yep. He will travel with the Warriors for their upcoming three-game Texas road trip, but he will not play. The earliest Curry could return is a home game, November 24th, against the Kings.
Kings have been pretty good this year so far.
Yes.
De'Aaron Fox looks like the real deal. Game more headlines?
Rondo broke his hand.
Really? When? He was playing late in that game last night.
Apparently yesterday. A source told ESPN that Rajon Rondo will be out 3 to 5 weeks after breaking his hand.
That's probably actually a really good thing for Lonzo Ball.
The Lakers learned this upon arriving in the locker room that they had lost Rondo for the next few weeks.
Here it is right here behind us.
Ah, yes, Rajon Rondo expected to miss 3 to 5 weeks after breaking hand.
There he is holding his hand. He was playing late in the game last night, at least in the fourth quarter, so I guess it had to have happened late. I didn't notice it. He was playing, and then Lonzo came in, and this will be good for Lonzo's development. Lonzo needs more minutes. Man, Lonzo is such a head-scratching basketball player. Sometimes he does really cool things. He's really good. He's really effective. He's long. He's athletic. He's got great court vision. But sometimes he throws up shots that look awful. That'll miss by like 3 feet.
Apparently it's a fractured third metacarpal. Not sure what that means, but that's what it is.
Okay.
Did you see the Steelers yesterday plundering Le'Veon Bell's locker? Taking all of his items.
Ransacking through it and taking his Jordan cleats. Bud Dupree, I believe, was posting like a video of him holding Le'Veon's cleats. Like, thanks, bro.
Yeah. What do you know? A former Kentucky player stealing.
Have they had prior run-ins with theft?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Just saying you don't see any VFLs doing that kind of thing, do you?
That's right.
So, yeah, just ransacking his locker.
Okay, yeah, no, I saw it. I mean, Le'Veon's not coming back. I hope he goes to the Ravens. I hope we get Le'Veon in that division playing against the Steelers. That's my dream scenario. The Ravens just cut Flacco, say, all right, Lamar Jackson, let's roll, and here you go. Here's you, a really good running back, and Le'Veon Bell. Let's ride. That's my dream scenario. Nightmare scenario would be the Patriots finding a way to use him, but I guess they used a first-round pick on Sonny Michel, so they shouldn't do that. The Colts, that also would make me unhappy. The Colts signed him. Or the Texans, ugh. Oh, no. Texans.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty bad. Texans with Deshaun and Le'Veon and DeAndre Hopkins and Fuller. And, oh, no. All right.
A food service worker at the Detroit Tigers Stadium who was fired after video surfaced showing him spitting on a pizza has been sentenced to 18 months of probation. Jalen Curley, 21, also was ordered Thursday to take an anger management class and to not work around food while he serves his probation. He earlier pled guilty to one felony count and one misdemeanor count of food law violations. I didn't know you could get a felony for that.
For messing with food?
For spitting on somebody's pizza?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
I think you should be. I think that should be a felony.
I mean, it's very gross, but
I think you should be locked up for at least 10 years.
Well, that seems a little
extreme. No, if you spit on somebody's food, that's about as bad as it gets.
You think someone should go to prison for 10 years
for
that?
Yeah, I do.
I think that's a little extreme.
I think you are violating one of our social contracts. If you are working in the food industry, you should not be tampering with our food.
obviously, it's very gross. It's very disgusting.
I think
disgusting.
You should get 10 years in prison at least.
I think that's a little harsh.
What's worse, selling drugs or spitting in people's food? Spitting in people's food.
I think that's a little harsh.
I don't. We always agree, like, if someone spits in your face, you should be allowed to punch them in the face, right?
Right.
Imagine them spitting in your food. That's worse than them spitting in your face, in my opinion. In my opinion.
No. No, not even close. Getting somebody spitting in your face is like the most disrespectful thing in the world. There's nothing more disrespectful. You'd rather them spit in your face than on
right
your food?
Right in my face than spit in my food.
No.
One goes in my body, one gets wiped off.
No, it's a human respect thing.
Ben Lee, early preview of This or That. What's worse, spit in the face or spit in the food?
Spit in the face feels worse.
Nah, you're wrong. Cut your mic off.
I mean, somebody just hocking one up and just right in your face. Like, that's just the ultimate disrespect.
Yeah, that's a lot worse than in the food.
Like, in the food, sure, you're eating it, which is gross. And it's way more disgusting, but at least there's a respect factor involved.
And, like, usually, like, in the food, there's, like, a lot of juices and different stuff. Like, you probably won't even notice.
Yeah, it's like a little extra seasoning.
I wouldn't say it like that, but, like...
What is this, a hollandaise sauce?
You probably wouldn't notice, like, a little bit of spit in your food.
Yeah. How do you think Eggs Benedict are made? You know all that runny, slimy, yellow stuff on top? What do you think that is? Yeah. Oh.
But I think, like, getting spit in the face, like, that's just... I mean, that is physically on you and in your face.
Ben, 10 years in prison would be too much, though, right? For spitting in someone's food?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous, right?
I think 10 years is a little too light.
Are you being facetious, right?
No, I think if you spit in somebody's food, you should go to prison for 10 years. Those are the type of crimes we need to get off the street.
I think, like...
That's ridiculous.
You want to sell a little drugs? I mean, you probably shouldn't be doing that, but okay. I understand. You want to make a little money? That's fine.
You said someone spitting in your food is worse than selling heroin to a kid.
Yeah, someone's got to eat, man.
How do you got to specify it's a kid?
Well, I'm just trying to narrow it down here.
I mean, I feel like you're going with the...
You see a guy dealing heroin to a kid versus a guy spitting in your food because you yelled at him at a restaurant. You think the guy who spits in the food deserves more prison time?
I mean, you went right to heroin and kids.
I mean, that's what you said. You said drug dealer. So, I got to paint a picture.
There are other drug dealers. They could just be selling Adderall to college students. How about that? What's worse than that?
Those people are doing the Lord's work.
All right, there you go. Turn that back around on you. What's worse, spitting in somebody's food or selling you Adderall when you need it?
Well, now those people are doing a service.
Oh, okay.
There's way different levels of drug dealers.
Yeah.
Some guy slinging a little weed, that's not that big of a deal.
That was my point.
Yeah, but these people selling heroin, that's the thing. They all get grouped together.
That's a whole other thing.
So maybe we need some context on the people who spit in their food. Maybe Jalen Curley, the 21-year-old who spit in their food, maybe he had some real jerk. Some guy who was taunting him or something. Or maybe they made fun of him. Maybe he's, you know, disabled or something. And they said, ha ha, look at that disabled guy making my food. You know, I mean, we need context.
Maybe the guy who's spitting food is like a meth head working in a kitchen who's got
maybe,
scabs all over
maybe,
him and diseases and he
maybe,
spits in your food.
Maybe, but we don't have that context.
We don't have the other one either.
Right.
I know.
I'm just saying, in general, I think being a drug dealer is probably worse than spitting in a guy's food.
No. I disagree.
Well, I disagree with your disagreement.
Well, two negatives make a positive, so you agree.
Wrong.
Sorry, I don't make the math rules. That's just math.
That's not how math works.
Two negatives make a positive.
No, that's not true.
I disagreed. You disagree with my disagreement. Now you agree. It's positive.
That's not true.
That's how math works.
What is -6 plus -8?
2.
-14.
Yeah, you have to multiply, though.
What?
It's like multiplication.
If I got -$6 and then somebody takes 8 more from me, I got -$14.
Yeah, I mean, you raise a good point.
If I overdraw my account, which has happened several times, and I'm -$34, but it hasn't hit yet, so I go ahead and pump a tank of gas, and then I'm -$42. That puts me at -$76.
Can't argue with facts.
The American Athletic Conference Commissioner Mike Oresko.
You're right. I guess I got boxed in there pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't invent the saying, but all right.
the AAC commissioner, Mike Oresko, reconsidering his position on playoff expansion, thanks in part to the way UCF has been ranked over the past two seasons.
Yeah, okay.
As they continue to do this strength of schedule, we're somewhat at a disadvantage, Oresko told ESPN. If certain teams like Ohio State and others maybe had the schedule UCF has and they ran the table, would they still be in the playoff? That's the question I would pose. I don't know. You can answer that. The point is, I hadn't really given a lot of thought to expansion of the playoff, but I'm giving more thought to it now because it seems to me that if half of FBS is pretty much going to be left out of this, then I think maybe you have to think more about it.
Pretty big NFL game tonight. We'll talk about it next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Big game tonight in Seattle. Green Bay taking on the Seahawks. Is this a loser leaves town match? Huh? Is it? Do you think the loser of this is eliminated? Is it over for the loser?
Who's the home team?
Well, I said the game was in Seattle. So let's use a little critical thinking here. Let's take our context clues and try to map out who the home team is.
So loser leaves town would mean that Green Bay has to lose because they're going to be the ones leaving town.
Well, in this scenario, town is the playoff race.
Well, you should have specified that.
In this scenario, home is the playoff race, or town, I guess I should say. Town is the playoff race. Is the loser of this game out?
Yes.
Feels that way. This feels like an elimination game. I've liked the Seahawks all week in this game. I think the Seahawks have been playing pretty good football. I think they figured something out on offense in terms of, I mean, watching them play offense is kind of rough at times in terms of watching them really try to grind out running attacks. Like they rush on first and second down, and they're pretty much always like in third and four, third and three. And then maybe they'll convert it and then they'll go back and run. Although last game against the Rams, and this was an important game for the Seahawks in terms of the division race, and really every win's important for them, you finally started seeing Russell Wilson start running the ball. You finally started seeing Russell Wilson go back to being a dual threat. So far this year, he hadn't really been doing that. And then in this game against the Rams on Sunday, he had 9 carries for 92 yards. And I would say 6 of those were probably on the read option type of thing where he's faking to the running back, letting the defensive end get sucked in, and he's going out the backside. That adds another dynamic. All week long I've liked the Seahawks, but then you realize like it is a loser leaves town match. Who's more likely to lose? Like, are we ready to write Green Bay off right now? Because it feels like if they lose, it's over for them. They'll be 4-5-1. Feels like it'll be over for them at that point.
Yeah, the remaining schedules obviously come into play. To me, it's tougher for Green Bay because that division that they're in, I think the Vikings and Bears are both better than them. And, you know, they got to go to the Vikings on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Or next Sunday night.
Yeah, not 3 days from now. That would be unfair.
Right, right.
That'd be pretty tough if they made them turn around and play on Sunday, yeah. Too.
Typically, they don't make teams do that. So if you play the Thursday night game, you get a week off at least. So, yeah, I mean, but at the same time, the Packers' schedule, pretty manageable. Cardinals and Falcons at home. They still got the Jets and Lions left. So two huge division games for this. I think Green Bay could drop this one and still have a shot.
I don't.
Sets them up with two huge division games on the road, though. That's what's tough.
They'd probably have to go undefeated.
At Vikings and at Bears, tough. But they could win those other four.
They'd have to go undefeated, but they'd have to go undefeated and still have help. Because if they lose this game, they're maxed out at 9 wins. Because of that pesky tie.
Wouldn't it be 10? 10, 5, and 1?
Yes. Corrected me. It'd be 10, 5, and 1.
But that would mean beating the Vikings and Bears on the road.
So they would have to go undefeated after this game.
Yeah.
Don't you look and think they'll win those other four, though? Cardinals, Falcons, Lions at home, and at Jets? Those feel like Green Bay wins to me.
I don't know. Yeah, but I don't know if they could beat the Falcons.
When they're having to play at Minnesota and at Chicago both, like the chances of winning both those games doesn't feel likely.
I don't think they win. There's no way they can win their division anyway.
Well, I know, but even in a wild card, like they're going to have to get to 10-5-1, I think. Maybe not.
To have a shot.
Maybe not. I mean, like, if you look at the standings right now, who are the likely wild card contenders for them? Who are the likely wild card contenders?
Panthers are still in the mix.
I mean, right now, the Rams and Saints, you think, have their division locked up. And if the Packers lose this, it's going to be really tough to win that division. They'll be competing with, I mean, I guess Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean.
Seattle, Dallas. Like, maybe this isn't that big of a game. Maybe you can get to 9 wins and still get in.
But it obviously would be better if, like, you go win this game and then you could maybe afford those two division losses. Or your back's not against the wall so much in terms of the playoffs.
It's unfortunate for both these teams that's such a crucial game because, at the very least, this is going to have implications for that sixth playoff spot because head-to-head's a tiebreaker. And Seattle, you know, is good. If they win, they'll be 5-5. And right there with, you know, Green Bay in the loss column. And then they'll have the tiebreaker. Packers are going to be without a couple of key players. Randall Cobb, I don't know how key he is anymore. He had that really good week one since then, and not so much. They'll also be without Kevin King and linebacker Nick Perry, safety Kentrell Bryce. That's the problem of being on this short week, is not all these injured players have a chance to kind of bounce back from injuries. How are you feeling, Ben, as a Packers fan tonight?
I honestly think we're going to get beat. I've been kind of like in this situation of like, we really need to win out to have like a great chance of doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, I still feel like at even 10-5-1, we'll have trouble getting into the playoffs. And that's losing one more and winning the rest.
This will be a chance for Seattle to kind of have some home field magic again. Like, it's been a while since you've actually kind of been scared of Seattle at home.
They've lost their last two important games at home.
Yeah.
I mean, they beat the Raiders, but.
Yeah, that doesn't. That was in London anyways.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, well, they haven't won at home then since they beat the Cowboys in week 3.
Now, they haven't played. How many home games have they played?
1, 2, 3.
So, they're 1-2?
Yeah, if the Raiders game was in London.
Yeah.
Yeah, beat the Cowboys, and then they lost to the Rams, and they lost to the Chargers.
If Seattle wins this game, they are sitting pretty to at least get to 9-7, because the benefit of playing in the NFC West is that you get to play the Cardinals and 49ers twice each, so 4 times. And the good news for Seattle is they've played the Rams both times and gotten that out of the way, and they still have their 4 matchups with the 49ers and Cardinals. So if you look at that, I'm assuming they're going to win all 4. I take that back. They played the Cardinals once.
Right.
So they're going to win all 3 of those. So you can already pencil in 7-5. So now they need to find 2 more wins. But they have at Carolina, home for the Vikings, home for the Chiefs. Like, that's not an easy stretch.
Yeah, I think it's a lot tougher for Seattle than it is Green Bay.
Feels like this game tonight is bigger for Seattle.
Feels that way.
I just feel like with Green Bay's defense, like now that Russell Wilson is out there like running around again and like making plays with his legs and throwing pretty well, like our defense is just kind of like there most of the time.
What the hell does that mean? Our defense is just there? What does that mean?
Like, it's just like they don't make like huge plays.
Like, they're not awful, but they're not going to really stop anybody
either.
They're just out there going through the motions.
They're just there.
Like, it's not a minus, but it's definitely not a plus. Like, it's the zero on the.
It's an average defense.
It's an average defense.
That would have been the easy way to say that instead of, they're just there.
Yeah, they're just doing their thing.
Just great analysis. They're just doing their thing. Cut your mic off. Go to you for the Packers. Like I'm going to you for like an inside info, and you're just, not inside info, but just like a you obviously you keep up with your team closer than I do, but maybe not because your analysis was they're just there.
I mean the like we traded away our best safety, we traded away our best corner 2 years ago. Like they kind of went to reset mode halfway through the season. You have rookies in the defensive backfield, and then you're playing two receivers that are rookies for the most part. Your offensive line is terrible.
This Packers team does not have any stars on it except Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Ty Montgomery, for one.
I mean, like.
He's in Baltimore.
I think Davante Adams is a star.
I think we say it all the time. Okay. Like, Davante Adams isn't a number one receiver anywhere else, though.
I don't know if he is or not. Davante Adams has kind of shut me up on that. Davante Adams has been really good.
He's been a great fantasy guy, I know.
Now, granted, like, having Aaron Rodgers throwing you the ball helps out immensely. But Adams is usually open. He's the one guy who's getting separation on that team. Like, if you watch Jimmy Graham, all of Jimmy Graham's catches have people draped all over him because he's not getting open, but Rodgers is throwing it right to where it has to be. With Adams, there's usually some wiggle room there. There's usually some separation.
He can make plays.
And that's the other thing. Even with Aaron Rodgers, this offense is still, like, just slightly above average. Like, you're not moving the ball, like, great.
Yuck.
I don't know. Like, I think we're going to get beat tonight pretty bad.
Yeah, Randall Cobb.
He's out.
He's been awful this year.
Yeah, Jordy Nelson, he's gone.
He had that one, like,
74-yard
catch. I think
Jordy Nelson just retired last week.
Just talked about Jimmy Graham sucking, Andrew.
Jordy Nelson was in Oakland. That was one of John Gruden's big free agent signings.
Nice. So, yeah, I mean, no Jordy Nelson, no...
yes, there's no Jordy Nelson.
No Randall Cobb.
Hey, your studs are Devontae Adams.
I'm aware that Jordy Nelson is
there. Geronimo Allison, the St. Brown...
Geronimo Allison's even gone now, right? Like, isn't he hurt?
Oh, yeah.
He's out. He's been out.
That St. Brown guy from Notre Dame.
St. Brown is that guy's – you remember that family that were supposed to be the new Ball family?
The Balls of football?
Yeah. They added St. to their name just because they thought it sounded more dignified. Yeah, he's one of the guys they're relying on. He was like a sixth, seventh-round pick?
Yeah. Like, that's where we're at now.
Feels like – I watched a lot of that Miami game when the Packers were playing Miami, and it seemed like they were going all out. They were faking punts. They were going for fourth downs. It seems like they know their backs are against the wall. Tonight might be the night where McCarthy gets fired.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice breakdown. You got your this or that topics ready?
I do. Let's see. I've got America's Got Talent versus American Idol. Would you rather go to a Smokies game or an Ice Bears game? And air conditioning versus heat. Which is the better invention?
The last two were pretty good.
Do you have a fourth one? Do you have an alternate?
All these
damn weeks, he still doesn't come with four, an alternate. All right, that's fine. We'll do that next. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. This. That. This.
That. This. That. This.
Come on. Come on. Let's jump on in to the great debate, this or that. First thing up.
Come on.
America's Got Talent or American Idol?
Thank God I got my swimming trunks on. I jumped right in, Ben. American Idol. All day on this one. American Idol really started the whole talent revolution on network television. Like, if it weren't for American Idol, America's Got Talent would never exist. The Voice, America's Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent, all that stuff, simply just spinoffs of the original American Idol. It's the GOAT. Simon Cowell, it's where he became a multi-million dollar personality because he was brutally honest. Mm-hmm. Think about the stars. Mm-hmm. That it's created. First of all, who can you name me from America's Got Talent that's become a star? Go ahead, try. Because American Idol, we got Carrie Underwood. We got Kelly Clarkson. We got many, many others.
So you named me two stars. Like in the first like five seasons, just for the record.
Yeah, when it was at its peak. I mean obviously
name me who the stars are now. Name me the last like 10 winners.
Jordan Sparks. I mean, we can't forget about Jordan Sparks. She was great.
That was over a decade ago.
Local Knoxville people. The Knoxville. Chris Blue, he won it. Remember Chris Blue?
No.
We had another girl, Emily Roberts or something. She was on it. So it's helped generate talent out of Knoxville to have a face on a big stage.
Are you sure Chris Blue wasn't on The Voice? I thought Chris Blue was on The Voice.
Could have been on The Voice. Regardless, The Voice wouldn't have existed if not for American Idol, because American Idol paved the way for it.
So who did you – what were the first people you mentioned?
Ruben. How can we forget about Ruben?
Again, that was season two.
Well, it doesn't matter when it was.
And Ruben necessarily hasn't turned into a star.
It doesn't matter when
it was.
Don't get me
wrong.
Don't
get me wrong. I like Sorry 2004 as much as anybody. And his rendition of Flying Without Wings hits me in my feelings. Like, I'm with you. But all I pretty much will say here is the biggest star of American Idol of all time is, you've already mentioned his name. Who is it? Simon Cowell, right?
Yes.
What show is he on now? What show is he the judge of?
America's Got Talent.
Thank you.
Does that win the argument?
I mean,
how does that win the argument?
The biggest star of the show's
because
history
they wouldn't pay
is
him.
On America's...
American Idol wouldn't pay him. They wouldn't pay him what he was worth, so he had to move. That does, the fact that he went from that show to this show doesn't mean it's a better show. It just means American Idol, yeah, it flamed out, but its great years were greater than anything. Name somebody from America's Got Talent who's gone on to do anything.
Terry Fader.
Who?
Dominating Las Vegas,
who?
The magic scene. He's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm going to go
America's
ahead and say.
America's Got Talent gives you a variety.
Looks like you Googled that one.
No, I didn't. I'm looking at Simon Cowell's Google because I think he created all these shows. I don't think it has anything to do with him not getting paid enough. I think he created all these and then just, you know, knew that he was the biggest star. He's like, hey, America's Got Talent needs me because I am the face. And he's on that show, which makes it better.
America's Got Talent made a kid cry. They made kids cry.
Yeah.
Because it was mean.
I think
it was mean-spirited. Howard Stern made a seven-year-old cry.
Howard Stern, also a great host. Like the judges,
he's not on there.
He used to be.
He's not now.
The judges throughout history have always been better on America's Got Talent. Bigger stars, bigger judges. Heidi Klum.
Bigger stars? Bigger stars than Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood?
Talking about the judges.
The judges? Well, who cares about the judges? This show?
The
great judges are on The Voice.
The mainstay of the judges, the mainstay of the show, the people who are on it every season are the judges. And America's Got Talent judges are just better and bigger stars.
Well, give me some stars.
Huge star. Howie Mandel, huge star.
Okay.
Mel B, Heidi Klum, huge star.
They were already
Simon
a
star. Cowell, huge star.
Simon Cowell's a star because of American Idol.
That's fine. And then
and
he
the
went
reason,
to another show.
You know why they got established? You know why they were established? Because they were already established stars. Name some stars the show's created. You can't. All you got is one magician who nobody knows who the hell that is. But what would a world be without Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood?
They don't get to live.
Since you've been gone.
That's a great song. They don't get to live on the stars they pumped out 15 years ago. That Kelly Clarkson.
I took a Louisville Slugger to both headlights.
Kelly Clarkson being on American Idol a long time ago does not make American Idol better now.
In its prime. We're not talking about American Idol now. We're talking about the show in general, the whole history of the show. America's Got Talent's never produced a star.
Ben
not
Lee,
once.
All I'll say is that American Idol is nothing but singing. And Cody just said himself, The Voice is a better singing show. America's Got Talent takes other.
I didn't say that, first of all.
He said The Voice had, you were talking about Chris Blue, and you're talking about The Voice has better judges, so I assume that meant you thought that it was a better show. But America's Got Talent allows things outside of singing, and variety is always better, and they have the bigger stars as judges.
Ben, you know any America's Got Talent stars? Because I don't either.
You don't have to, because the judges.
Yeah, you do. The judges were already established. Just because they went out and put money into the show,
that doesn't,
that doesn't
matter.
Mean anything.
Like, that's fine. They're still.
Paula Abdul, huge star.
She is a good star. She has nothing on the America's Got Talent judges.
We'll let Ben decide this.
Point, John. Smokey's game versus Ice Bear's game.
I'll go with the Smokey's game here.
Sometimes the negativity of this place can be overwhelming. What do we want out of our judges?
I'll go with a Smokey's game. Something about being outside on a summer night. I'm not a huge outdoors guy, but even that makes me happy. I like watching baseball more than hockey.
I love mosquitoes.
The talent level is really the biggest difference for me, though. You go to a Smokies game, you're probably seeing future major leaguers. You go to an Ice Bears game, you're probably watching guys who have no future in sports. I mean, I hate to be mean. Like, the Ice Bears are a great partner with us, but so are the Smokies. And at a Smokies game, you could watch, you know, at some point, Chris Bryant, Javi Baez. Who was it? Who was the famous Cubs pitcher last year that was there making his rehab start?
Two guys that we've heard of.
I mean, Yasiel Puig was so there far. Playing a game, too. Like, the double A in baseball.
Did he play for the Smokies?
No, but he was playing there, like going right. to a Smokies game. Right. Like, you can see other right. blue chip talent. Much like you're talking about stars from American Idol versus stars from America's Got Talent, name one person who ever played for the Smokies. Or, excuse me, for the Ice Bears. For the Ice Bears.
That's
name
what,
one player.
That's what makes the Ice Bears so appealing. It's an everyman's sport. You or I could suit up and go play for the Ice Bears right now.
Absolutely
those
not.
Guys work their ass off.
Absolutely not.
They
you
work their
ice skate.
Ass off.
It's not relatable. Can you ice skate?
Absolutely. Those gentlemen.
You cannot ice skate.
Those guys work their
You've
asses
never played
off
hockey in
for,
your life.
For little pay. You know what those Ice Bears make? Very little money. They might make $50 a week, but they suit up because they're blue-collar workers, and they go out and they grind every day just to provide entertainment for us. Another thing, you get to watch the Ice Bears. You talk about summer nights, no heat, no mosquitoes, no bugs. You get down close to the ice, you get a nice little breeze off the ice. It's comfortable. You don't have to deal with bugs. And you're watching a game that is actually exciting to watch because who the hell likes watching baseball these days? Nobody. Hockey, you get to watch guys bang, bang,
you,
bang.
You remember
watching guys bang. Guys just banging each other. Just boom, right up against the glass. Baseball. Well, here comes another pitch, and well, it looks like that's a ball. Let's have a hot dog, and we'll wait for the next inning, where perhaps we'll see a hit to right field.
Okay. Oh, okay. You remember that playoff
Boring.
Game? You remember that playoff game we went to last year?
Yeah, it was fun as hell.
That went to like four overtimes, and nobody scored through three overtimes, and we left and gave up
fun
on it
as
because we're
hell.
Like, I can't sit through another 20-minute break while
you
they
left.
Zamboni the ice.
You left. I stayed and watched.
I don't think you did. I think we all walked out together. I think we all walked out together. You know what they don't have to do in baseball? Take a 25-minute break to Zamboni the ice.
You know what we didn't do? We didn't even go to a baseball game because it's so boring.
Ben Lee took tickets and went to a Smokies game.
So boring. Baseball is so boring. Plus,
I don't want to watch Joe the Plumber play hockey.
Plus, you got to drive 30 minutes to go watch a Smokies
game.
Some
people like driving.
You gotta deal with that pigeon Sevierville traffic just to go watch a
no,
game.
You don't. It's right off the
I
exit.
Know, but that traffic can get heavy right there. Ice Bears game? I mean,
you gotta pay to park at the Ice Bears game.
We could walk to the Civic Coliseum from here. That's how close it is
I
to
mean,
go to an Ice
could
Bears
walk
game.
To. It's only 20 miles. We could walk to the Smokies.
Well, we're not
too.
Gonna make the game.
I don't remember parking at the Ice Bears game or paying to park at the Ice Bears.
You gotta
game.
Pay to park at it. You gotta.
No,
pay.
You don't. No, yeah, you don't. You they do. Got a parking garage and it's free parking on every night besides Friday during the playoffs.
And we went on a Friday during the playoffs.
Ice Bears have a cooler mascot. That big bear with his purple jersey.
Yeah,
love the
that,
color purple.
That
too.
Big bear is way cooler than the Smoky Mountains.
The Ice Bear gets the crowd involved.
Way cooler than the Smoky Mountains.
I got to dance last year. You remember that? I got to dance, do a little salsa. I got a little salsarita. It's cooler.
I got to give the point to Cody here. I relate very well to the blue collar man grinding just to provide some entertainment.
Neither one of you can ice skate, especially with pads on.
You don't know that.
Every man.
You don't know that.
We will go to the skating rink right now,
and I'll skate you off the rink.
I just relate to the blue-collar man just grinding to provide some entertainment. Yeah,
that's what the Ice Bears do. They make like $20 a week.
That's true. I'd much rather go watch Ralph play pickup basketball than watch the NBA. I'd rather just watch the blue-collar worker. The guys that are getting paid
oranges.
The guys that are getting paid $50 to play hockey. I'd much rather watch that than future Major League Baseball players. Yeah,
guys,
great
I like
idea,
watching guys.
Guys
banging. That's what I like watching.
Air conditioning versus heat. The better invention.
The better invention. I mean, air conditioning. I mean, how is that even a question? I mean, in the summertime, it's 140 degrees. You've been out sweating. You've been out working with those Ice Bears training. And you need something to cool you down. You walk in the door. There's nothing better than being out in the hot summer sun, that August heat, and walking into a cool house. You just open the door or walking into an office building or anything. You open that door and you get that cold rush after being out in that summer heat. All of a sudden, the sweat starts to dry a bit. You feel a little more comfortable. Heat? Who needs heat when you have blankets? I mean, when you're cold, all you got to do is put on more clothing and more blankets and you're fine. You don't need heat.
Do they ever have blankets in public places? Like, could you bring a blanket in here?
Yeah, I could.
What about in your car?
I could, yeah.
What about your car?
I could drive wrapped up in a blanket.
Let's just picture that you go out to your car, and it's the dead of winter, and it's iced over, and you have no heat in your car. Where are you going to go?
I'm going to go wrap myself in a blanket.
So you're not going to be able to go anywhere, right? Like, because your windshield's going to be all frosted up, and you're going to be freezing.
I don't think that's the argument. You're stepping off track. That has nothing to do with a heater versus an air conditioner.
Yes, it does.
A frosted windshield has nothing to do with heater versus AC.
You have to have a heater.
Please stay on topic.
I want to see where this is going.
You have to have a heater to get the ice off.
Please stay on topic.
Driving in your car, if you have no air conditioning, you know what you can do? Roll down the windows. If you have no heater in your car,
oh, yeah,
you do?
I love that 100-degree air blowing in when I'm already sweating. Love that southern humidity.
It's better than not having an air conditioner. It's better than not having a heater.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You're not talking about the heater. You're talking about the defroster. Please stay on topic.
I'm talking
topic.
About a heater, too.
You're grandstanding.
You can't blow cold air onto ice and make it melt.
This is gerrymandering.
That's not what gerrymandering is.
I don't know
is.
What gerrymandering means. You use an ice scraper. An ice scraper. You go out with a scraper. You scrape, scrape, scrape.
It doesn't defrost the air in it either, buddy. You got to have heat for that. Having a heater in your house.
We're not talking about driving your car.
We're talking about air conditioners versus heaters. It's not just in your house.
Of course it's in your house.
You go to other places, too.
All right. Well, you drive around in 100-degree weather all summer with no air conditioning. Tell me how that works.
I roll my window down. I've had to do it on the
phone
before.
You don't get to just roll your window down? Who put that stipulation in? I just roll my window down.
Cars?
I get to roll my window
with
down.
Windows, like, you can open the door, you can get a breeze in, you can have a fan, you can have all those stuff.
All right, yeah, go ahead, 100 degrees, do that. Let me know how that feels.
If you don't have heat, you have no alternative.
It's always better to be cold than it is to be hot, because you can put on more clothing. You said this the other day. You said this not even 2 days ago. You can put on more clothing, you can put on blankets. When you're hot, it's miserable, and there's nothing you can do about it, unless you got yourself an air conditioner.
There's no risk of death if you're too hot, if you're just sitting there.
Oh, really? Let me set you on fire, and let's test that theory.
Now, that is gerrymandering.
That's heat, buddy.
That is gerrymandering.
That's heat. That's heat, my friend.
You get too cold, you can die. Frostbite. You ever heard of it?
What, just being out if you're in the frozen tundra, I guess?
I mean, if you don't have heat.
If you had some blankets, you'd be in good shape.
Yeah, well.
Would you rather freeze to death or burn to death?
You can't use fire as an excuse for
that's talking
not
heat.
Part of this argument.
We're talking that's, hot versus cold. That's, well, that's, hey, that's I didn't think so either, Ben. I didn't
I
want to
I
gerrymander.
Yeah,
I didn't
you.
Want to gerrymander, but this guy started talking about defrosting his windshield.
I
have to disqualify you for gerrymandering.
Thank you. So he's disqualified.
He's disqualified. Right? That means John wins.
Thank
you.
I know what gerrymandering is.
I'm so
is, by the
tired.
Way.
I'm not playing this game anymore.
Can you tell me what gerrymandering is?
From now
is?
On, Andrew plays.
Gerrymandering
I'm not
is
playing
like,
this or that.
Whenever you win an election, like if your party wins an election, and you know, like basically you can outline the districts you want. You can realign.
That's what you two have been doing.
You can realign the districts.
I didn't get a fair shot at the election.
Last call on the other side. So we got an last call on the program. I want to give a shout out to the McKinney team for sponsoring the phone lines. We don't take calls, so sometimes we don't get to really plug them, but love them. ZillowKnoxville.com if you are buying or selling a home or interested in seeing their listings. All right, pump the brakes, keep rolling. You want to go first or second?
I could go first.
Drunk raccoons. Stop. Cause false rabies scare in West Virginia. Apparently these raccoons were drunk on crab apple. What is that?
It's like sort of like a gin. It's sort of like a vodka gin in between there somewhere.
No, it's not. Crab apples, I guess they had been fermenting on the tree, causing the animals to walk around staggering and disoriented.
Ah, so it's like a wine.
So people thought they were all had rabies, but nope, they were just drunk. All right. Sounds about West Virginia.
I love raccoons. Raccoons are one of my favorite animals.
That sounds about like West Virginia.
Every time I roll into my apartment complex, I see them hanging out by the dumpster. They're just a little family of them just trying to make a living. Just sifting through everybody's trash. I love those little guys. Got a lot of animal life at my place. Got raccoons. We got rats over there. And there's an owl. Brandon can vouch for it. There's an owl. He hangs out there by the dumpster, right by the raccoons and the rats. They just have a nice little ecosystem right there, feeding off our trash. Love them.
Okay.
McDonald's manager gets beaten up over something great.
McDonald's, you always see these people fighting.
Yeah.
Seems like a very dangerous place to work.
Yeah. Police are seeking a woman who pushed, punched, and choked a McDonald's manager because she wanted ketchup. Police in Santa Ana, California, say the assault took place around 11 p.m. on October 27th when the drive-thru customer entered the restaurant through an employee door and asked for the condiment. Video released by police showed the woman attacked the manager after she was told she could not be in the building. Gotta get that ketchup.
I feel like on a to be a manager at McDonald's, you have to be able to scrap. Seems like that's a likely place to have angry customers wanting to fight you. That'll do it for us. It's Optionals up next. Good night of sports coming up. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.